Please listen as I read Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples. For His merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. As I mentioned at the beginning of the new year, I typically choose a new psalm to serve as our doxology. The doxology is that very last psalm that we sing in our worship, and I choose it very carefully. When we worship God, we are entering into the presence of a holy God, and we enter into this a glorious conversation with our Lord. God speaks to us. He calls you to worship Him. He declares who He is and what He has done in the reading of Scripture. By His Spirit and the preaching of the Word, God holds out the promise of forgiveness of sins. And He assures you by His covenant promises that He has indeed forgiven your sins in Jesus Christ. We also speak to God in worship. We speak to Him in our praise and prayers, telling God how great He is and how thankful that we are that He has saved us. We call out to Him for help and forgiveness. We express our humble reliance upon His grace that we might keep covenant with Him. It's fitting then, when this special time of worship is closed, that we sing His praise, that we utter a doxology, as it were. That word doxology literally means a study of glory. And you think about the close of worship, a declaration of God's glory is a very fitting way for a worship service to close. Psalm 117 is such a song. It is a study of God's glory. As you might have noticed, it's very short. In fact, I've already said more about it than the psalm actually stands. It's the shortest psalm in the book, in fact, the shortest chapter in the entire Bible. And yet the author packs quite a bit into this short psalm, including high praise and a profound vision for the church. It can be summarized as a call to all people everywhere to praise the Lord. That's what verse 1 says, praise the Lord. You might read it and think, well, of course all people everywhere should praise the Lord. But think about it and read it in the context that it was written, and you'll understand that it communicates an incredible scope of God's kingdom. Remember that this psalm was written by a Jewish poet. And that when he uses the word Lord and says praise the Lord, that he uses that special covenant name that God gave to Moses to identify the God who is faithful to His promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a very, in a sense, very Jewish-specific name, but a name that also has in mind a faithfulness that incorporates more than just the Jews. The psalm says, praise the Lord. And as the psalmist says this, he says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Speaking of those who are outside the nation of the Jews. Laud Him, all you peoples. In other words, this Jewish songwriter clearly understood that the Lord extends His kingdom to embrace not just the Jews, but to embrace the entire world. That's why I say in this very short psalm we have a study of glory that extends to the ends of the earth. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul quoted this psalm as proof that God would save Gentiles as well as Jews. This happens in Romans. There he says that that as he quotes this psalm, he says that God would send His Son to be a Savior, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. so that it would be a fulfillment of this promise from this little psalm. We can trust then that God has planned all along to bring together a great and diverse congregation of the elect from all nations and all cultures. Verse 2 gives two reasons to praise God. First, His merciful kindness is great towards us. Mercy is an incredible word, isn't it? It means that God has not given us what we deserve. We deserve God's justice at His wrath. But He has withheld that. And why? Here again, this little psalm is connected to Jesus. God withholds His wrath because He has satisfied it in Jesus. God is merciful towards you. And you have reason to praise Him because of that mercy. And second, the truth of the Lord endures forever. The word truth can also be translated faithfulness, which makes sense in this context, doesn't it? If God says it, it's true. If God says it, He will make sure that it happens. He always keeps His word. In this case, that truth must be connected to His mercy, making it refer to God's promise to forgive all those who come to Him. Another great reason to praise the Lord. For God's truth, His faithfulness, endures forever. And again, this little psalm is connected to the greatest picture of all, the greatest demonstration of God's faithfulness, which is Jesus. By way of conclusion, I could say that this short psalm packs a punch. It calls you and all people to praise God for His mercy and truth. It calls you to praise God for Jesus, in whom and through whom you experience God's mercy and His truth. We'll sing this psalm both now in the midst of our service, praising God for this work of Jesus Christ, and then we'll take it up through the rest of this year as our doxology, a study and declaration of the praise of God. Let's stand and sing Psalm 117, Selection C.